Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. We've been speaking with Helix Water Board candidates this week, and next, my guest is Stephen Rotzart, who is a candidate for Seat 2 in the Helix Water District. He's running against incumbent Deanna Verbecki. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and qualifications, and why you're running.
Well, I'm born and raised in the community. I've lived in the East County for just about 40 years now. Raised my family here. We have three small children, attend the local schools as well. And we have a vested interest in making sure the community stays with its roots and how I was raised. My qualifications specifically, predominantly, my day-to-day job is in real estate, developing brokerage services, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But it, also, my wife and I participate heavily in nonprofit work, predominantly in the East County area. East County YMCA and the Mount Helix Park Foundation are very big passions of our family, and seeing those both those foundations succeed has been really just an amazing, amazing thing to watch over a period of time and how much they've given back to the community.
So now you're hoping to bring your successful experience with the nonprofits to bear on the Helix Water Board. I understand that you've also had some hands-on experience with water that's rather unusual. Tell us about that.
So my background with water is sport-driven. More specifically, I represented the United States at the 2012 London Games as the water polo referee. I started in water polo back when I was 18 years old and have continued it ever since, and it has provided me an avenue to see all parts of the world, but more specifically represent my country, and it was truly an honor.
Very good. Well, you certainly would appreciate the importance of water then with that particular background. What prompted you to run for the Helix Water Board specifically?
Well, specifically, it was brought to my attention that we had some issues with fiscal responsibility, mm-hmm. and that is really my background with regards to nonprofits and making sure that we're staying within budget to get projects done and to get them done equitably. Mm-hmm. I was approached by a series of neighbors who came to me and said, you know, Steve, with all your success in the nonprofit work, would you consider running for Helix Water Board? And after investigating and consulting with my family, obviously, I felt it was the right time because we are in a very, very dire situation right now. Obviously, water is very precious.
Yeah, the drought.
We have rates that are continuing to go up, and there's really no accountability. We really have nothing that has been provided to the ratepayers as evidence that, hey, listen, this is what we're doing for you. And with my vested interest in the community, I felt it was now is the right time to get somebody that's on the board that actually has the voice of the ratepayers and that will provide the questions and the balances to the board to put it back on staff so that we can actually have reliable, equitable water.
Okay. So what specific plans do you have for trying to keep rates down?
The biggest thing right now is fiscal responsibility. Currently, Helix Water District is $18 million over budget over last year. And there's really no accountability of where those funds have gone. We have seen salaries and pensions increase. We have seen rates go up to offset some of those expenses. However, the reality is that there's really nothing that the district can provide the ratepayer saying, yes, this is why we need $18 million. Really, what needs to happen is the board needs to push back these budgets back onto the staff themselves and said, you need to do a better job. We need to cut. You're asking our ratepayers to cut water, but what have you done internally? And really, we're just not seeing that right now on the existing board.
What are your thoughts about the equitability of water rates? In other words, there's been a lot of controversy about whether the burden should go more on, say, the large property owner or the large water user, whether there should be allowances, say, for your family size, whether we should continue to have the minimum allowances for, say, people on fixed incomes, low-income folks.
I can only speak for my district because those are the people that I visit. And right now, what I can tell you is that my district is made up of from everybody that's living in an apartment all the way to people that have 2.5 to 5 acre parcels. And the reality is this. Our large parcel owners are really having difficulty in these current times,
yeah.
trying to keep their yards green, trying to keep them safe from fire and things of that nature. And with that, we really need to come up with new avenues. One of the things that the districts used to have was called an agricultural meter. An agricultural meter was allowed to put on a parcel so that you could actually have water only for watering services.
Familiar. That was an issue in my neighborhood, and they took it away.
That's right.
And you wound up with people who had orchards that they were using to feed their family. Some of them gave their fruit away to the homeless or to friends in need, or even sold small amounts of it. And all of a sudden, you can't afford to keep the trees alive, and yet you can't afford to cut them down either. It could be thousands of dollars to cut even a couple of trees, let alone an entire orchard. So what would you do about the agricultural meter situation?
I would definitely be in favor of bringing them back. And the reason is it's twofold. The agricultural meter allows for a ratepayer to go ahead and water their yards, their orchards, and things that they need to as far as plant life is concerned. The second part of it, when you get into the residential meter, now it's isolated for the house. And some of my ratepayers in my district actually pay sewer fees based off that water usage. Well, you wouldn't be paying sewer fees off of an agricultural usage. You would only be paying sewer fees off the usage for the house meter itself. And that becomes really important, especially when we're dealing with budgets and fixed income individuals that have to only make sure that every dollar is accounted for that's coming out of their property.
Okay. What specific ideas do you have for further encouraging conservation of water and also for paring back expenses? If you want to keep rates down, then obviously the expenses have to get cut somewhere else, or you have to find a way to increase revenues through, you know, some creative means other than the ratepayers.
One thing that I don't think the district has done is really reach out to the building department at all. And this became clearly obvious a number of years ago when I tried to do it myself. The reality is that we need to work with the different entities that actually facilitate the usage and the wastewater. Right now, only up until a couple years ago, could you plumb your property for a gray water system?
Yeah.
Most of my ratepayers in my district have no idea about that. They did not know that they could actually go and file for a permit and actually get a gray water system at their property to pay for orchards, to pay for anything.
Maybe is that something that the district should be promoting, getting the word out on?
Absolutely.
Okay. What about, in terms of the drought, is enough being done to assure a safe and reliable drinking water supply for customers in the Helix Water District?
I do have to say, the Helix Water District does an impeccable job providing safe, reliable, and healthy water for our ratepayers. And even their backup systems in place. Some of our ratepayers were affected during the thunderstorms that rolled through a month and a half ago, and we lost power. But you know what? We didn't lose water. So that aspect of it, I have to tell you that the district really has done a fantastic job, and the staff at the district has done a fantastic job to make sure that the ratepayers actually do have water. Now we just have to make sure that we can do it equitably.
What about things like encouraging recycling of water? There's been some discussions with Padre Dam. There was kind of a failed effort at a water recharge project out in the El Monte Valley that wound up being a legal nightmare, so to speak, for the district. Can you comment on those?
Sure. A couple different things. First, the desalinization plant in Carlsbad is online, and we should be receiving water in that within it's about a two-year time frame now once it's completed. Mm-hmm. The biggest exciting part for East County residents, though, is that we just the other day, and most news agencies had a very great video clip of everything going on there, of a reclaimed water treatment that's it's a project that is being done out at Padre Dam. And they received a grant from the federal government in order to facilitate this project. The project being successful will produce over 1 million gallons a day. 1 million gallons a day of water right now, of reclaimed water, would facilitate a tremendous amount of residences, agriculture, and things of that nature for our East County residents. And that is an avenue that definitely needs to be researched more. Now, this project is limited to Padre Dam, and the future of it really still remains to be seen. But with its success, we can see that other agencies, and it's already been talked in joint ventures and things of that nature, with Otay, Padre Dam, and Helix, having another reclaimed water treatment plant so that we can actually produce water for our ratepayers.
Very good. So that could be a source of drinking water in the future for
Absolutely.
The ratepayers in Helix. Let's talk about Lake Jennings. The board at one point was ready to close it down. The majority was, and there was a couple of vocal minority board members that spoke out and said, let's not be so hasty. The public came in and testified, and so they set up a committee to study it for a year and figure out if they could find a way to make the lake be profitable for the district. They've made some progress, I understand, but let's hear your views on that.
Lake Jennings is an asset that we cannot do away with. It's one of the most prized possessions in East County that Helix Water District currently owns and manages, and it's an asset for our ratepayers to be able to go and use it, and all the East County residents. But the biggest thing is this pilot project that was done for a year, actually what probably no one knows is that it actually succeeded. And it was such a success because it actually broke even to be able to have the park open, to be able to have people use it. The fishing was profitable. They've done a great job in bringing people into Lake Jennings.
Yeah, they've turned that around.
Now, they just recently hired a park ranger, and now they're going to get the camping online, and they're going to promote the park even more. And I think with that success, you're going to see the rejuvenation of Lake Jennings, and you're going to see the passion of the East County residents that want to make sure that it succeeds.
Yeah.
I think a great example of that is using other water districts. Example, Santee Lakes has been a tremendous asset for that community, and Lake Jennings can do the same thing here for us in our Helix Water District ratepayers. It's just it's a fantastic piece that really needs to be promoted and invited people in, and I really think that it will be a success in the future.
Yeah, not only for recreational users that enjoy going there, but also potentially a revenue stream in the future once it's completely in the black again.
Absolutely.
Okay. One last issue, and that issue is transparency and accountability of the board. This board in the past, there's been a few stories that have been run about different things like Brown Act violations, open government issues there. And yet when this was reported on one occasion, I recall Director Verbecki, when she was chairing a meeting up there, blasting the media for reporting on things that the district had done wrong or that were controversial. What are your views on that?
Transparency is paramount. And the reason is because we're the voice of the ratepayer, and the only thing that we can use to get back to the ratepayer is the media. And so you have to have that transparency. You have to have this working relationship with the media to be able to get the message across, because if there's always going to be controversial issues, and we're going to have to deal with them. We're obviously, the drought is very important right now, and we have to use the media to be able to communicate with our ratepayers on a regular basis. And so transparency is paramount, even if there are difficult issues to discuss and to work through. We're going to have to rely on the media to be able to provide that transparency for our ratepayers.
Do you have any endorsements you'd like to share?
The biggest endorsement, and I'm really proud of this, is the Grossmont Mount Helix Improvement Association has endorsed me as their candidate for the seat number 2 for Helix Water District. It encompasses 7,000 residents and making up the Mount Helix and Hidden Mesa area, and that's really a fantastic opportunity. I'm very proud to have that endorsement.
Very good. And I'd like to add that we have invited all of the 4 candidates who are running for the Helix Water Board to be on the show. 2 have responded thus far. We've interviewed Director Hedberg, Kathleen Hedberg, and now candidate Stephen Rotzart, and we hope the other 2 will respond, so we'll have an opportunity to let you hear from them directly. I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Any final words for our listeners out there?
For any information, feel free to visit stephen4water.com, and I look forward to November 4th election.
Very good. Thanks for joining us on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.